This is Scott Allen from odecode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Coon from lazycoder.com.
Hi, this is John. I'm happy to announce that our podcast finally has a name. It's Herding Code. That's herding, as in H-E-R-D-I-N-G. It's like herding cats, except it's code. And we're now at herdingcode.com. You can subscribe to us. There's a link on our site. You can also directly subscribe at feeds.feedburner.com/herdingcode. And you can find us in iTunes. So subscribe away. This week's episode was recorded a couple of weeks ago. We actually planned ahead for Kevin Dente, who is on vacation this week. So here we go.
I'm here with the gang, John, K. Scott, Kevin, and I'm Scott Coon. We're going to be talking this week a little about Silverlight. Is it the next hula hoop, or is it highways, infrastructure, roads? I'd kind of mentioned this on Twitter, just kind of throwing it out to see how many angry replies I would get from people who are putting their life and livelihood on the Silverlight train. Thinking that, you know, if we were thinking back, 8 years ago, you know, we were all going to be writing ActiveX internet controls. We're going to go right in the browser and, you know, oh, you could use Visual Basic or Visual C++ or whatever you wanted to do to write this ActiveX control. And now we're kind of hearing a, you know, Rev 2 of this. Now you can use .NET. You can use C# and you know, maybe Iron Ruby, you know, is promised as a feature. So you're going to write these, you know, internet controls that you plop down in the browser, and, you know, the browser ends up just being this container. Very similar to Flash. So I'm kind of, you know, happy that there's a competitor to Flash, but I'm kind of wary that Microsoft will continue to support this. But maybe, and this is kind of one thing that I'm thinking, maybe the point of Silverlight isn't necessarily to deliver, or maybe not the point, but maybe the end result will not be to deliver a Flash killer. The end result will be an incubator. So Silverlight will serve as a platform for lots of things internally, like the DLR and a tighter core CLR and Iron Ruby and more dynamic languages that come about. And that's kind of my thinking along that way. I think the same way about MVC, that I don't know that MVC is going to be a web form killer, and I don't think they're positioning that way. But in a way, it's kind of like Microsoft's moonshot. A lot of things like Tang and faster computers are going to come out of things like MVC, where you can say, we're not trying to kill web forms, we're just trying to create an alternative framework. So why don't we go ahead and make it, you know, MSPL? Why don't we go ahead and put source dumps up on CodePlex? And the higher-ups are able to say, yeah, you know, it doesn't really matter. Sure, go ahead. And they're able to kind of subversively slip these things in. And I don't think that John Lamb was very subversive at all. I think he said, hey, we're going to put this on RubyForge, because otherwise everyone's going to point and laugh at us. And no one will take us seriously. So, let's see. John, you had a point?
Well, just one really brief thing, which is that architecturally, there's a really cool difference between Silverlight and ActiveX. Because Silverlight is a player, whereas ActiveX was kind of each ActiveX control was pretty much a plugin. And it, you know, I mean, what it did was pretty invasive, and it kind of ran as, like, you were saying, here, install this ActiveX and just do a bunch of stuff. Silverlight's a pretty contained sandbox, so you can, what you're running in it is, you know, some sandboxed MSIL, and you've got some vector, or some XAML. And so it's a nice way to say, you know, run some stuff, and then don't take over my computer.
Is that what we're reduced to? Please,
Yeah, please don't kill my computer.
Do some cool stuff, but don't kill me. Okay, Kevin? Or K. Scott, sorry. You know, okay, K. Kevin. It's all the same.
John had a good point there. I think Silverlight has some staying power. I don't think it's gonna it's not gonna take over the web. But the other thing that appealed to me was
light up the web.
Sorry, yeah. My favorite phrase actually is create islands of richness on a web page.
So tropical.
So the legacy of Silverlight will be spinning buttons?
I think the legacy of Silverlight will be a little more than that. Microsoft has said that they're going to promote or be able to have source compatibility between WPF controls and Silverlight controls. And although WPF doesn't quite have the adoption yet, I think that's actually going to turn out to be a pretty compelling feature. What do you think, Kevin?
just to comment on K. Scott's point there, I was really excited about the Silverlight WPF compatibility stuff too. The stuff I've been reading recently is all this new stuff that's in Silverlight that isn't in WPF, like the Visual State Manager stuff, different approach to templating controls. So I do wonder, and I'm not an expert in this stuff, so please somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I do wonder whether they're diverging a little bit more than they originally were talking about.
I think they're including a text box control.
I'm going to correct you because you're wrong. They are including a text box control, but specifically the Visual State Manager. The Visual State Manager is something that I'm actually really excited about and is going to be included in WPF. And I'll edit that out if that's not an NDA thing. I'm pretty sure that's publicly announced. But the deal there is, if you've had to do animations inside of Silverlight, it just sucks because you have to animate in and animate out. And so if you've got something where, say, you hover over something and five things happen, then when you unhover, you've got to do five more reverse animations. And you pretty quickly end up with just a total mess. And what's nice about this Visual State Manager is you can just say, here's the hover state, here's the unhover state, and it handles everything for you. So I'm really happy about that and excited about seeing that come to the WPF. So I do think that there are some places where they're working well together. I think there's other places where I'm frustrated by the way that Silverlight and WPF are keeping in sync. For instance, URLs within Silverlight really should behave like they're in web apps. And instead, they behave more like their path URIs or whatever they're called from within WPF. So there's some things there that are frustrating because they're trying to keep the two of them in sync in ways that kind of don't fit too well.
So one comment on that, John. You mentioned that the Visual State Manager will be coming to WPF, and I don't doubt you there, but I assume that it's going to be coming to WPF in the next version of WPF, which will be in the next version of the .NET framework, which will be God knows when. So for some period of time, they will be divergent, which just seems like it's going to challenge the whole shared code story. I mean, that was really my point.
Yeah. Can I say one just kind of general thing on the Silverlight, you know, what's the point of it? And I think that there's the thing, when you look at a web page, you know, there's so many, there's a lot that HTML does really well. And there's some things that HTML doesn't do yet. For instance, it doesn't do animations, sophisticated animations. It doesn't do video. It doesn't really do media that well. It doesn't do precise layout. And, you know, even if you dig into things like the network stack, JavaScript is great. browsers really are chugging away doing the best they can, but they're running off of specifications that were running or were written a long time ago. And so there are specs that eventually will get us to something a lot better. You know, Scott, you mentioned HTML5, and I'm hugely excited about HTML5 and also kind of depressed when I think about when IE is actually going to ship HTML5.
Heck,
so to me, like IE...
When HTML5 will actually ship.
So for me, I... Yeah, exactly. So for me, like, as I look at what Silverlight plus Internet Explorer and then just all other browsers as they are, just supporting standards, gets you so much more of a platform for building web apps, running on the .NET platform, you know, et cetera, than we've got right now. So it's not, you know, I think in some ways it's a bridge solution, but seeing how quickly these guys are rolling stuff out for Silverlight, it's pretty interesting to see where they're going to go.
One thing that I've been thinking about in terms of Silverlight, why it's adopting stuff is, who is the target user for Silverlight? I mean, clearly there's a certain amount of richness that it enables in the browser that's very flash-like. But it makes the most sense if you're already living in the Microsoft stack, because it brings a lot of, you know, a lot of your knowledge carries forward to it. And Microsoft just doesn't own the internet, I mean, from a development stack perspective, the way they do the enterprise. So I actually expect, it to be a really cool way of building really rich apps in the enterprise, where you don't have to mess with JavaScript and HTML, and where your developers are not necessarily, you know, JavaScript hacks. And yeah, you can still build rich deployable, you know, web deployable applications. That's where I kind of see some of the sweet spots for that platform.
Yeah, I've seen two. In the last 6 months, I've seen primarily two use cases for Silverlight. One was to deliver media to an end user. So companies that want to have online training or movies online or audio or something, they're using Silverlight Player. So that's not a big deal. That's something we could have done with Windows Media Player. But, you know, Silverlight, you can make it look a lot better. It's a lot easier to skin and so forth. And then, honestly, the second use case has been commercial web applications. That's web applications that people are selling, and they just want to add a little bit of pizzazz to it. What do you think, John?
Well, that sounds kind of like what they've been selling as the Islands of Richness use case, which is where you drop a Silverlight control into as part of a web page and add a little sparkle to it, which... You know, it's okay, but it's sparkle. It's not really a huge deal. And then there's the media case you talked about. There's the enterprise case, which you kind of talked about, but I think it can be bigger than that, because you can get, in the same way that we've had kind of ClickOnce or, you know, any other kind of WinForm or WPF app, I can see enterprise groups delivering enterprise applications to their entire group using just Silverlight. So you write using your controls, you write simple enough things. It's a lot simpler to build a complex application and deliver it over Silverlight than it is WinForm or Ajax.
So I think the real big compelling reason here is that there are some .NET devs that just don't grok JavaScript and HTML on the DOM. And they just want to abstract away, you know, as much of that nastiness as they can. So if they get to write in a nice, safe, type, you know, strictly typed managed language, like C#, and they can still do all the little DOM manipulation they want to, or they can just completely avoid it and do it all in WPF, you know, they can. But one of the things that I find ironic about the DLR support in Silverlight is that I've seen John Lamb post some JavaScript samples. So you can write JavaScript inside of the DLR and use that in your Silverlight code. So at some point, there will be some Silverlight apps that are written using the exact same ECMAScript 4 language that Flash and Flex apps are using.
That is true. And actually, yeah, I have talked to a few people that say we do use JavaScript, but we're not really happy with it. We'd rather be sending something down to the client side that's written in C# code that we think we'll be able to unit test that easier. So some people are looking at Silverlight as a way to replace JavaScript, but I don't know if everyone has really thought through that entire scenario with just how Silverlight changes the end user experience. I mean, if you think about rewriting an app, a website like eBay or Amazon.com with Silverlight, it would be a dramatically different experience. Some good, some bad. What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, and I really don't see widespread adoption in, you know, big internet sites. Maybe some interesting little the islands of richness, some cool little special purpose sub-sites. But, you know, the web is all about HTML and JavaScript. The broader web, you know, the more you stick to those, the better your story is, as far as I'm concerned. It's more compatible with other platforms like the iPhone and Windows Mobile and all that stuff. And the more you venture away from that, the more risk is, you know, cutting off your customer base. The classic reach versus rich story.
Yeah. I've got this kind of internal struggle going on. I may have mentioned this before, but there's this kind of, you know, there's this idealistic world in which we can write everything in semantic HTML and CSS, and browsers will interpret it, and everything's pure and clean. And then there's this, like, yucky world we live in which a lot of browsers, including the main browser, don't really follow any of the standards, and standards are really slow to catch up to what people are actually using the web for, etc. And so the pragmatic side of me says I can do everything I need to do in Silverlight, vector graphics, etc. And, you know, then it's just so there's kind of this, like, you know, what can we do now pragmatically using the tools we've got, and where would we like to be? And the two don't match up at all. But for me, I'm putting my bets on Silverlight over a web that's dominated by Internet Explorer.
I don't know if I would make that bet. Simply because it just seems like it, you know, at that point, Internet Explorer becomes, you know, not necessary. The browser is not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So you're back to the rich app. So why are you writing something in Silverlight? Why are you writing something in Silverlight to be plugged into a browser that isn't necessary, instead of just writing a rich client? That's kind of the path that you're going down.
I guess what I'm saying is Internet Explorer plus Silverlight equals Firefox 3.
Well, that's not what I got out of your original statement. But I like
it. No, but you know what I'm saying there. I would love so many of the features that are shipping in Firefox 3 that I can't use and nobody can use, because they'll only work on whatever percent of the browser, you know, much less than the majority. But once you put majority of Internet Explorer users are running Silverlight, once it's delivered via Windows Update, etc., then all of a sudden, you know, the IE browser platform, cobbled together as it is, has enabled a lot of the things that we've been wanting to do for a long time.
Okay, so just talk about how we're going to wrap it up now.
Yeah, how do you wrap this up?
How do we wrap this up? All right. let's see. Well, how would we summarize this conversation? Web sucks. Silverlight will save us, maybe, unless Firefox 4 kicks its butt. Thank you for tuning in this week. We'll see you soon, or hear from you soon. I'm sure. Well, that ending sucks.